very talented. If it's not singing, they're dropping off flower petals. It's all very wonderful. I want to talk to you about an event that my marriage recently went through. My wife wants to spend time with me and do things that are important to me, and so she decided we were going to go to a baseball game together, something we could both enjoy, and that was the intention. And so we did. We went to the White Sox game, and I saw my favorite team, the Yankees, of course. And when we arrived there, I enjoy the crisp play. I like to see the outfielders hit the cutoff man. I like to see tagging up, going from second to third, all the fundamentals of baseball. And the different things. The pitches they swing at the Yankees are it's a well organized team. And I was when I come to the game, if you come, you can watch the batting practice and watch them practice, and then you get to see each play. And I like it when it goes into extra innings. It's free. You get more. It doesn't have to stop with 9 innings. You know, the 3 hours is not enough. You need another half an hour if you're lucky. And this is something I've grown up with. I really enjoy this. So I brought my wife to the game so we could both enjoy the action on the field. And she's disappearing, and I'm like, whoa, where'd she go? She comes back. She's like, they have nachos. Why would you have nachos at a baseball game, right? I'm focused. And she goes later, there's all kinds of shopping venues here. It's like she's desecrated something that's very sacred in my life. And so she finds there's all kinds of stuff that goes on at the stadium, and there's all kinds of things at the venue, and there's all kinds of exciting things. But I would like to say to you that for a true baseball purist, there's all kinds of things to entertain you, but there's only one thing that really matters, and that's what happens between the two chalk lines. Nothing else really matters. And those things are nice, those things are wonderful, but they're not the main reason why we're there. I want to tell you this. I feel the Lord burdening me to preach on the church, and I don't know exactly why. Maybe I need to hear it, maybe you need to hear it, but I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to say, and I feel a very strong sense that this is what I'm supposed to do. Okay, and I think in our day and age, we don't value the church enough and what it does. I think we get caught up in all kinds of extracurricular things. I think there's all kinds of parachurch organizations. I'm not against them. There's a place for that. I think there are, Baptist World Missions here, that's a parachurch organization. And there are areas where they can complement the church, and if they can just focus on it, there are things that way that they can help the church and enable the church, and it can function the ways the church cannot. But I will say to you, the center of what Christ is doing in this day and age is the New Testament local church. Other things go around it. Other things complement it. But the center of what God is doing is the church. And I think it's discouraging and sad when people don't recognize how much they need the church and just how much it keeps them on the straight and narrow and how it can focus them, okay? And how much we need that. We don't think that we need this, what you see around you. But in this day and age, we need it more than ever. It's so easy to lose our focus or to get caught up in things that are not the church that God has. The church should be the center of His work, okay? Other things should complement it. Now, if you have your scripture tonight, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, Paul is going to write to the Corinthian church. The church is mired in carnality to the point that Corinthian is a verb is used for a verb in the original language to describe immorality. They would call it being acting like a Corinthian or doing the Corinthian. This is how this city was known for its wicked ways, a very prosperous place. And this church had many difficulties. Now, Paul's going to write to the church and to the church members to tell them, this is how the church should operate. This is how it should run. So if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this group of believers gathered in this place, Lord. I pray that you administer to us, speak through your word, Lord. Help us to hear you plainly. Help us to be quick to obey, to say, here am I, and that you would use us, Lord. I pray that we would experience your blessing, Lord, and that we would live our lives to please you. In Christ's name I pray these things. Amen. Now, Christ working in this time is through the church. God uses the church in each one of our lives. And so, Paul's going to explain, describing the church. What does it look like and who is in the church? And in this first section of Corinthians, he's going to describe who's in the church. And he says, number one, the church is composed of believers that are gifted in different areas by one Spirit. The church is composed of believers that are gifted in different areas by one Spirit. Now, this section, the beginning of Corinthians, he's going to describe spiritual gifts. Now, I love talking about spiritual gifts. This is my favorite. I love all those personality tests that you take, and I like to see whatever I come up with and which gift I have that day. That's a joke. Most of them I fail at. I just have the negative parts or whatever. But I enjoy this. I will say this. In Scripture, there's various lists of spiritual gifts. This is one of them. And they're all they're all completely different. So I think that there's a range of gifts that God gives believers to enable them in the work of the church. And even in our church, we have people that have various abilities and various talents that God has given them for the service to the body. Okay? There's people that can sing, and there's people who are, you give them a chance to serve, and they have the tape measure in their pocket, and they whip it out, and they just can't wait to cut something and make it all work together. I was trying to help in that middle nursery. I had who was in there, a couple of the older men in the church, and they just worked circles around me. It's like, I'll just stand here for a while. They're trying to give me things to do to make me feel important or something. But yeah, God gives various people various gifts, and He uses them for their service. But God is the one that gifts us. And we need to recognize it's God that gifts us. And although we are different in our abilities, the same Lord is gifting us. We are all connected. Okay? The same Spirit's gifting us. It talks about the diversity. There's all different kinds of people. There's all different kinds of gifts. But the same Spirit is working for the same purpose, to build up the body. Now, there are people in this church that I have a lot in common with. There's a couple of friends I have in this church. And we can talk any politics. I mean, any topic. It can be politics. I mean, you just name the topic and we'll agree on every single issue, you know? And talking about music, we have the same opinion. Family, same opinion, you know? We have everything in common. There's other people in this church it seems like I just have nothing in common with at all. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's cold outside and I'm miserable, they're happy. And they like the cold. And I'm like, what? You know, maybe that's why you moved here. You know, I don't know. And there's different personalities. But I will tell you this. Among these diversity of people, I feel like I feel close to both of them. Because I think even though we may have different temperaments and different personalities, at the end of the day, we have the same Spirit, the same Lord that oversees us. And we're excited about the same thing. We're excited about Marquette. Okay? And I can always, among my friends, we can always talk about what we should do and whatever's going on. And there's that excitement, there's that joy there that God gives us. Because we are one body, and we are part of this church. And God gives us these gifts. They're diverse, they're different, and it mentions, much of the gifts that are mentioned here are gifts that God gave that were specifically used during the early church. But God gave them these gifts, and they were able to function together because they all came from the same source, and the gifts were given with the same purpose. So, in the church, we may have diversity, but ultimately we have unity of purpose. Question for you. How do you view other believers? Do we recognize their various gifts and talents? Or do we just say, this person is, they're out there. You know, they're different. Do we take the time to appreciate what God has given them? Or do we sit here and we can pick flaws in each other? Unity is a choice. We can choose to be unified, okay? And most of the things that people get upset about and cause dissension, most of the time don't amount to the hill of beans, I'll tell you. Or personal things, you know? This person has a different standard than I do. And this is the way it works. If you're strong on the standards, which I love talking about standards here. But this is the way it works. Anyone that's stricter than I am, we say, legalist. Can't trust that guy. He's out. If they're looser, we say, that's a liberal. They're no good. And I will say to you, in Scripture, you know, parts of it are black and white plain. And those are real easy. But other parts, you have areas of application and levels of application. And I think some application, I look at this, I say, you'll help you avoid problems. This is the wise way to go. Something may not be as wise or maybe not be as effective. But inside of that range, you'll find there's a group of believers that God is working in their life. You may not agree with everything that they say and do. They might be shooting themselves in the foot in some ways, perhaps. But God loves them. God uses them. And even though they're different than you, God still loves them. Christ died for them, just like he died for you. And God wants to use that believer. And that believer is important to him. Now, for me, sometimes you see other people and I say, you know, what's this person doing here? I don't understand this. But God sees the value in that person. And God has gifted that person, just like he's gifted me. And we have the same spirit. We need to work on being unified. Give the unsaved your attention. Why don't you go witness to them as opposed to attacking each other? That's a natural thing to do, to attack each other. But we need to spend our focus on winning the lost. This is the people we need to do battle with. Satan, he's our big enemy. Not the person that's just similar to you. Because God uses even this person, and we're all part of the same body of Christ. All right, reading on in the passage, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. So who is the church? The first answer is people with a range of gifts and talents that are led by the Spirit. The second definition he gives here, the church is an unusual blend of gifted believers that compose the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Now, we're called from various parts and from various backgrounds. And it's not just, it mentions the Jews and the Gentiles. So you have religion, you have slave and free, you have different economic levels, okay? I will just say this. Just because you're good economically doesn't make you more spiritual. The kingdom of heaven is not a business. And so spiritual leadership isn't just the richest guy knows the most or the poorest guy knows the least. We can't make these assessments because the body of Christ is more diverse than that. It's a diversity of personalities, its functions. It's compared to an overall body with different body parts. There's some people who are shy, and I scratch my head, why would you be shy? I've never had that feeling my entire life. And I even said to the pastor the other day, I said, what is wrong with this person? People were looking and they were so embarrassed. And he said to me, not everyone's like you. Okay? Maybe that's good though. Maybe we need some people to be shy around here. If not all, someone has to listen to my talking. But God uses a variety of people. And we all have different functions and different abilities. And it talks about how they evaluate different body parts. Certain body parts, I mean, those are it, right? If you're the head, you've got it made. Or maybe you're a strong right arm. You think that's good. And there's other parts that we think are just no good. Like, what if you were like the little toe of the church? Like, who needs a little toe? You know, we think that doesn't matter. That's something small. But it does matter. You ever have a bad pain in your foot or something, or in your toe, and you just can't function correctly because you've got a limp, and it throws you completely off. And it's the same with the church. There's people, and you think, you know, why is this person here? I don't understand this. The Lord knows why they're there. The Lord sent them there for a reason. I think when God gives gifts, He says He gives it to the body of believers. I think that's the local church. He gives the body. He says, what does that church need? I will send that to them. So, they're disorganized. He sends them with the gift of organization. Voila, organization happens, right? People are discouraged. He sends someone with a gift of encouragement. They come, they're excited. People are pumped up. People are revived. Good things are happening. And you say, that's that gift, okay? And maybe people have emotional wounds or scarring. He sends someone with the gift of mercy. Not me. The gift of mercy, I said. And they will pour out this kindness and show Christ's love and compassion. They will help heal that wounded heart. And then I think sometimes he sees a church and they've got their flow charts and they've got it all organized and everything is the way it's supposed to be in their mind. And he sends some members, I think, just to mess with them. And these people don't fit any of the preconceived notions that people have. And they say, why is that person there? They're keeping me from being effective in ministry. I don't have time for them. And it makes you reevaluate. Why are we here? What are we doing? And so every member that's in this body, God has a reason for, and a good reason for them. And we should value them. We should devalue the diversity. Just because someone's different or you don't immediately see their value doesn't mean that God doesn't see it and that God didn't send them there for a reason. So, if the body of Christ is made up of believers, my question to you is this, okay? The body of Christ is believers, people that are born again, people that know Christ as their Savior. How can the body of Christ fellowship with unbelievers? I wonder this. There are many religious people in our society today who do a lot of charitable things that are good and helpful. But for us to embrace them or to acknowledge them on the same level spiritually as we are, I think defeats the whole metaphor of the body. If someone has not received Christ as their Savior, no matter how good they may be or how useful or how helpful or how spiritual people may think they are, if they have never put their dependence on Christ, then they are not a part of the body. And you cannot have that fellowship with them. And it disturbs me. In our time of ecumenicism, everybody wants to unite. They say the body of Christ is one big happy family. And we have this person over here and that person. And they're willing to embrace people who question the deity of Christ. Or I heard there's a preacher not too long ago, famous preacher, someone that I admire a great deal. I have a lot of respect for what God has done in this person's ministry. But when they stand up and say, the Pope is a spiritual man, if this Pope has not put his faith in Christ, then he is not. And he is not a part of the body. So I believe that this body has to be of believers that are gifted, believers that work with each other. Now, every part of the body is useful, and every part God puts there. I want to talk to you about my family right now. I won't mention any names. I don't want to offend my sister Hannah. But she'll tell you this story herself. I don't think she'd be too embarrassed. She is like me. We are very close in age, okay? Quite a bit of type A personality in her, quite a bit of type A personality in me. Matter of fact, she might be the most type A I've ever met. At a young age, about the time she could write, she'd make lists of everything, and she would check off her list each day. As a small girl, she'd make lists. This is unusual, right? Very intense, very motivated, okay? You don't just mention a problem. By the time you're done discussing it, it's already fixed. She is the gift of serving on steroids, okay? Now, type A Hannah, a short time later, you have type A Micah born. And as young people, we both had the best way of doing everything, but it was a different way, unfortunately. And so for years, I wondered, why do I have this? And she said, why does he here? But you know what's funny? Now as we're adults looking back, I'm thankful for my sister Hannah. She is a blessing. And God helped me through her to not have to be doing things my way all the time. And looking back now, guess who I call on the phone constantly? And guess who I'm always asking for input? And guess who I'm always encouraging? And guess who's always encouraging me and praying for me? That sister. She was a blessing. And I didn't even see it. You know what? I think a lot of times God gives us the believers that we need, look around this room. You need all of these people. A lot of times we don't even see it at the time. But at some point when we have God's perspective, we'll realize, I needed that believer. And I needed that person with that gift over there. And that person needs me, okay? We need each other, and everyone needs you as well. It's a two-way street. We're a team here, okay? There's no one that sits on the bench. There's no one that just can just watch from a safe distance and not get in the game. God wants each one of us to be a part of that body. If I'm the hand and I'm not functioning, then the whole body, look at this. They don't have a hand to work with. And it's easy for us to say, I'm going to sit this one out. You know, they'll be fine without me. They have enough other talented people. They have the mouth up there. He'll be fine. Or they have someone that can make all the decisions. They don't need me. No, we need all the parts. We need to function together. If God's going to bless this body, we need to have 100% participation. My encouragement to you tonight is, how do you function in this body? And how is God using you? Do you respect the different parts? Do you respect the different gifts that God gives you? Do you realize that they're all important? And are you participating in this body? Are you giving your all? Or are you just kind of sitting on the sideline and waiting for someone else to pick up the slack? No. God wants to use you. Don't just be someone that sits in this pew. We want you to have function and meeting because God wants you here in this church. This is where you belong if God has put you here. And this is the work God has given to you. And this is sometimes the best thing you'll do all week is to be in this church. And this is how God can use you. The relationship's here. God has put us here for a reason, okay? Let's not just stare at each other. Let's do something for Him. All right, let's bow our heads together.